El mundo enfrenta una pandemia. Encuentre respuestas y acceda a información veraz y confirmada en el especial de NTN 24 sobre coronavirus COVID-19. Escuche los contenidos de NTN 24 en su plataforma de podcast favorita.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to The Power of Us, a podcast where Abel and Rosie lead us in nurturing, equipping, and empowering the relationships in our life through their experience and vulnerability.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to The Power of Us. I'm Rosie.
And I'm Abel.
And today's interesting. Well, I think every day is interesting, but we're going to talk about an issue that is kind of difficult to talk about.
Yeah, that's finances.
Yeah, money. Especially being, I don't know, I guess the only thing I've ever been is Mexican American, but being Mexican and dealing with money is so difficult because the man is supposed to make the money, you know? That's what we were taught. I don't know about in your household. Well, your household was different because you came from a single mom, kind of, no?
Right, but I mean, I think in general, the man is supposed to be the one that brings home the bacon. The man is supposed to be the one that goes out and kills and then brings it back for his family type of thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, hunter-gatherer. But that's actually become one of the biggest issues that leads to divorce. Obviously, the number one issue that leads to divorce is conflict resolution.
Right.
And like you were telling me earlier, babe, conflict... The biggest ones that are up there is pretty much finances, and then everything else follows.
Yeah, exactly. It's money issues that people are having. People think that, if there's a lack of money, then you're going to have issues. But also if there's an abundance of money or an uneven income.
Or even if you don't agree on how to spend it. But yeah, uneven income is a good one. I mean, we all went through that. I think everybody went through that just recently. Well, not recently, but a few years ago in the recession.
Yeah. 2008, 2009. We were expecting a recession. They said there was going to be a recession, but I think what happened is a man-cession is what they started calling it. People, companies, corporations started to get really intelligent, quote unquote, and saying, well, we can pay women less, which we're still fighting till this day. And it's we're trying to even it out, but just be upfront, an American male, a white male gets paid more than a white woman, or don't even get into races, African-American and Mexican, and women get paid less. So if you were going to pay a man $18 an hour, you'd hire a woman for $16.
Right.
So that is what happened. So it became a man session where a man couldn't find a job.
Yeah, it became so hard. I remember actually looking for a job in that time.
And the man session began 2008, 2009, and we got married in 2011.
Yeah.
And you already had a job, but then your company closed, remember?
Right.
And then you got laid off, and then you couldn't find a job, and you were qualified. It was the field you had done in forever. It was just women were getting hired.
Yeah.
And it became very difficult. And see, for our culture, it is, I think, even more difficult. Because in the animal kingdom, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the lion... it stays at home. The male lion stays at home. The lioness is the hunter-gatherer.
Right.
And these are the lions that we admire, and they're beautiful, and they're king of the jungle and the queen of the jungle. But they do it opposite. Why is it that when a man and woman do it opposite, the family is always questioning the man?
Yeah.
And I think, I assume you guys know, our listeners, that Abel and I have probably been through that, and I used to really get mad. I still get mad at comments. I try not to let comments on Instagram affect when they're about me. I'm like, all right, call me old, call me fat, call me whatever. I don't care. But when they talk about my husband, my kids, I get really upset. People will get blocked on a second, especially when they said, oh, es un mantenido. Like, one, you don't know my life. Like, why would you just assume that? Because my parents have money, or my sister had money and left me in charge to just manage her money. It's not even that it's ours. You would assume that my man married me for money. It used to get me so mad when we got married, there was none.
Right.
It was just Rosie and Abel and whatever jobs we had at that time. And then the man session happened, and you did start making less than me. And it kind of did affect us. You know, it affected us because we had no one to talk about it with. Like, yeah. Hey, what do I do? You know, like, I have a job that I have to do. My man is trying to find a job and he's taking care of the kids. And you were doing amazing at it. Like, if you hadn't been there, babe, to take care of the kids while everything went down with writing my book, first of all, this was before Che died. I was writing my book and you totally said, go do it, babe. I'm gonna hold the house down. And you giving me, first of all, that liberty of saying, we're going to downgrade on our house. We don't have to be rich. We'll have one car. We'll live with your mom. It took a lot of humility on your part. Mm. Of you saying, I don't need to buy clothes every week. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. You live your dream. You write your book. And then that's when you lost your job. Yeah. Oh, it was so hard. We were sitting, living here at mom's. And it was just very difficult financially, and it became even harder when you start thinking, people are judging my man, and how do I defend him without letting people into my life? So I think I just decided to be silent about it with everyone else, and then I kind of became silent about it with you because I didn't know how to talk about it with you.
Yeah, I remember going through that, and I remember thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't want to really talk about it with her because what can she say, you know? Yeah. And so there was a lot of humbling in my part, just daily, like feeling like a failure. I'm not providing for my family. I'm not doing enough. And I wasn't even thinking, and nor has it been in my mind to. I mean, if you make a ton of money, that's amazing. I just want to make sure that I make enough to support everything that we got to do. Anything else in my mind was like, whatever she makes, I want it to be extra for her. Or if anything, she can pay the insurance and the cell phone bill, but I got to hold down the house. I want to hold down the majority of it. I want her to pay at least amount, and whatever else she makes, that's going to be great for her on the side.
And I know we didn't talk about it, but I knew that it was an underlying issue because you wouldn't add yourself to our bank accounts. Remember, from like months and years, I'd be like, babe, go to the bank and add yourself to our bank account. It is our money. I wanted you to feel comfortable, but you didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, that was just another pride thing where I'm like, I'm not going to take 1 cent from her. I'm for sure not going to take anything from her family or ask anything of them. Mm-hmm. But whatever I make, I want to make sure that I have enough to spend it because I made it. Not because I'm having to take from my wife or anything like that. That was just my personal thing that I was trying to just battle through of just being a man and saying, I didn't have a daddy and I'm just going to make sure that I'm going to hold myself down and I'm not going to need anybody's help. You know, I didn't have my daddy to help me. So I'm just going to make sure I do it on my own. So I'm for sure not going to take it from my wife.
So how did you feel when I was working and you were taking care of Sammy and Casey at home?
So, I mean, that was difficult to just kind of just be there. And the worst part was, is that it was difficult in the beginning for me to swallow that pill. Mm-hmm. But then I actually got kind of real lazy. If I can be completely honest with you. And I think that's what a lot of our men do. And that's why the fights come in. Because then she feels like he's just kind of just being content with being there. And I kind of was for a bit, to be honest with you, of getting able to wake up, being able to wake up late, just doing a few things and then not having anything else to do. So the issue was that I was being not productive at all with my life, with everything that was with going on dreams. To the house, my dreams. Everything was just bare minimum. So I think that was the issue. Where I was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I remember now. I've always been really appreciative of the dad that you are, because you never stopped being good for Casey and Sam. They were always showered, they were always fed, it was always done, they were always dropped off where they needed to be. But in other areas of your life, even your ministry, you singing, you just stopped. And I'm like, you're not even doing that. What's going on with you? I think you kind of fell into a depression because I remember seeing you get into video games again, and you hadn't for so long, and then sleeping a lot. And then that's when I felt he's depressed.
Yeah.
It's not that he's a lazy man. I know who I married. He used to get up at 3 a.m. to drive to work. I'm like, I didn't marry a lazy man.
Yeah.
Now I had to realize he's depressed and I have to help him get out. So we then had the conversation. It was a hard conversation of, you know what, baby, I make more money than you. It doesn't make you less. And you have to know that. And I had to humble myself in saying, I didn't make you feel like a man in other areas. And it's a woman has to, I don't make you a man. That's self-esteem. That's you and God. But I have to cheer you on. And I wasn't cheering you on at all in anything. I was just like, I got to work. I got to go. I got to come. I got to do this. I got to do that. You handle the kids. And I didn't think any less of you. I really didn't. I actually thought like, this works for us. And I just got upset at people judging us. Mm. So what I think an advice that we can give people before we invite our guests is have the talk about you guys. not comparing yourself to your culture or your parents or your grandparents or the way you thought it would be, because this was not the life we thought it would be. You wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom, and then it reversed, and then we had the whole world watching. So have the talk where it's individually, you and your husband, this relationship, this timeline, this government, the time that you are living now, without having to worry about what's my mom or my dad gonna say, or what are my friends gonna think of my man or my wife. But babe, let's go on a break before we introduce our guests. They're very special guests. I am very excited. But let's see, you lead us off into the break, babe.
Thank you guys so much for being with us again. We'll be right back.
You guys know that I'm a speaker, a teacher. I love the word. And you can find more of those spiritual snacks on my YouTube channel, Rosie Rivera. Go ahead and have your daily word.
And remember to... And rem...
What's wrong?
I don't know.
I just... You guys subscribe.
And remember to subscribe.
Welcome
back to The Power of Us. Babe, we have special guests today.
I know, I'm excited.
Can you introduce them, please?
Yes, I want to introduce them because they are very near and dear to my heart. Many of you will know that I have a brother named Gus, and this is his daughter and her husband. So I'm very excited to invite Karina and Eddie.
Hello.
Navarro, right?
Yes.
Did you ever change your name, Iha?
I'm hyphenated, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm Karina Rivera Navarro.
Okay, so I'm super excited because I know you guys, obviously, but I don't know. We've never gotten into the details of your story. So now we're going to learn.
I don't know. Now we can talk about it a little bit.
Yes, yes. And I am so proud of Eddie because he is so shy.
Yeah.
He's very quiet. He's very chill at parties. He's here and he knows what's going on, but he's just enjoying it, like on a quiet level.
Yeah.
Like right now.
My family's just so loud and nuts that if you don't step in there and say something, Abel's kind of like that too, right, babe?
Yeah, Abel's chill. Abel's more reserved too.
We're the extroverts and we probably married introverts.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so tell me a little bit about, I was asking you, Iha, I know you guys have been together forever, but when did you guys meet?
We met in middle school. So we've known each other since middle school.
Crazy.
And then we went to the same high school, and we were always friends. And I had him be my quinceañera, and that's where, you know, we started dating in high school.
Okay.
So we've been dating since we were
15. When you invited him to your quinceañera, you already liked him, or?
No, we were just friends. We had the same friends. So some of the same friends that he had were part of my, you know, quinceañera, my chamelanes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no dating before that? Nothing had happened before that?
We had kissed. That was it. That was in ninth grade.
How does that happen? Like, what do you mean you, like, kissed but didn't like each other?
Well, we went to the movies.
Was it Spin the Bottle?
No, No. So we just casually, we were wanted to watch a movie. And since we were friends, we would openly talk, oh, we want to watch this and that. So I don't know how it kind of became. We said, oh, well, let's go watch a certain movie. And at that time, you know, she was still young, so her brother came along with us, kind of as the...
Always,
for sure.
Yeah, as her parents and her brother along. And in the movie, I don't know what happened, but I kind of laid my head on her lap, and she just went down to kiss me.
There it is.
And then the thing is, it wasn't weird after that. Like, it was just, I don't even know. Like, nothing had ever happened. We were friends. We didn't treat each other weird. We still had a good relationship. We would still talk. And then, you know, I just told him, you want to be one of my chambelanas for my quinceañera? He said yes, because, like I said, he had the same friend. Like, we had the same friend. So the same guys were also in my quinceañera. So it made it really just... It was just fun. It was chill.
Yeah, and in the quinceañera itself is where everything actually started blossoming.
Crazy, yeah. Really? Awesome. How did that happen?
Well, she had a boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And I think originally I kind of kicked it off. I saw we were all playing basketball during one of the quinceañera practices, and I saw her wipe sweat off of her current boyfriend's forehead.
Yeah.
Her ex-boyfriend, ex-boyfriend's forehead, and I kind of thought to myself, wow, I kind of want a girl to do that for me.
Nice.
And then that's where I kind of, like, I saw that nurturing part in her, And that's where it sprouted in me. And then it came from a couple of dreams after that we kind of shared with each other. And
like, he was like, I had a dream that, or I had a dream, me, Karina, I had a dream that Eddie had told me to leave my boyfriend for him. And I thought that was so funny because how he is as a friend, it's just, he wasn't like that. As mm-hmm. you know, he wasn't flirtatious with me. We never flirted like that with each other. We never were like dirty or acted, you know, inappropriate with each other.
It wasn't part of his character.
No, it wasn't part of his character. So that's how we were. So I was so open to be able to tell him that. I said, oh my goodness, Eddie, I had a dream that you told me to leave my boyfriend for you. And then Eddie, because he had played soccer during all my Quinceañera practices, so we would always talk. He would tell me, oh, okay, I can't go to this one's because of my schedule. So I told him that dream. He stayed kind of quiet, and then he was like, you had told me what? I think I kind of like you. And I was like, shut up. I'm like,
that's the response you wanted.
So I didn't believe him, or I didn't, you know, take him serious that way, but then it just kind of grew, or just kind of blossomed like that for some reason, and then we've been together ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, 15, so I we love grew it. Up.
Wow. And when did you guys get married?
How we got married when we were 25. We were 25 when
That's
we got
good.
Married. So 10 years into dating on and off, because we dated for 8 years on and off.
Right.
And then
I remember that part. Yeah. I remember the on and off. There's been so many times we were in like Big Bear. Like, I'm done with him, Thea. That's it. I'm like, dang.
My Thea Juan was like, why'd you change your number for? I'm like, well, I had to change my number, Thea. Well, why? Is it because of the microphone? Because Eddie has curly hair, so he would call him microphone. Yeah. After 10 years, we had our first son, Emiliano, in July, and we got married in December.
Yeah, so, December 8th.
Yep. So wow. It's been, this year it'll be 6 years married and 16 years together in September.
Now, Karina's wedding, I'm horrible with birthdays and dates, but Karina's wedding is so engraved in my heart because we were all in Vegas mm-hmm. or coming back when my sister's plane went down.
Yep.
And she was so sad that she couldn't make it to your wedding. Mm-hmm. She was even telling you to change it, right? I'm like, sister, how are you going to tell her to change the day of her life? She's like, I have to be there. Yeah. Everyone knows she's my favorite.
Yeah.
Che would not even hide it. Karina was her favorite from day one.
Yeah,
she even said, like, why didn't you come out of my vagina? You're just like me. Karina is just like my sister.
Yeah, so, and I know she would have been there, so it was always something very, we spent our wedding with our family, so that's always so important, and it just, like you said, the changes, but I know God has a certain plan, because it just things, how they work out.
Yeah, and till this day, we got a mystery bottle of Moet and roses mm-hmm. that we never know who it came from.
Crazy.
We got, after our wedding, we got came to our room and we saw a bottle of Moet and roses and
oh my God, I got the chills.
And we still don't know who it is. We assume it might have been, but we're still not sure.
We asked all of our family members. We asked everybody. Like, did you send us a bottle of this and that? And they're like, no.
Oh my God, I love it. Probably it was. You know, it sounds like Che.
Yeah, that's
just
what
to send something without saying anything and. Yeah, that sounds like her. Okay, so then you guys, Emiliano was born, mm-hmm. you guys got married, and then when did issues begin in your relationship? Marriage.
In marriage, I think everything was fine. You know, of course you deal with ups and downs because me and Eddie, since we were so young, we grew up together. So we had dealt with so many other issues in our relationship that getting into the marriage, it was a different ballgame. When you get married, it's completely, completely different. It's not like you're dating. It's not like you could just say, I'm walking out of the front door, like, bye. No, it is so different. So Eddie and I decided to pursue our personal dreams, and he had never been in the food industry. It was always me. I'd always been, all my jobs for some reason have always brought me back to either food, customer service, or something like
hosting,
that.
Hosting, serving.
Yeah,
right.
That kind of stuff. And so Eddie decided he wanted to pursue this little itch that he had in his butt and do catering. Yeah, catering. So he left his corporate job, and this was in what? 2013. Yeah, this is 2013, yeah. December. Yeah, December 2013, and that's what we did. And we did that for a few months, and it just crashed. It was something that we learned how to do. We didn't know what we were doing. We just tried to push as much as we can. And then after we left our apartment and moved into his mom's house for a little bit.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was really, really tough for that time because, you know, Emiliano was with his mom a lot. And we were working, you know, we would go out to Palm Springs. We were all over the place. And then we just... everything just kind of crashed right there.
I commend you for both of you for taking the courage to say, we're going to jump off this cliff. And then you guys did it together.
Yeah.
Of saying, we are starting this catering business. And it's his dream, but I join him with it. Because I remember like the curly top and it was flan and the best flan. Do you guys still
do anything? We still do flan. And it was just the catering thing. It was just, of course, you need money in order to do that.
Right.
And that's where it was so hard because even though you have these dreams and goals and ambitions to do certain things in a business, you need that money, especially for what we were doing.
Yeah, and that brings us back to the financial thing. At that point, I took out all my 401k that I had saved up in my job. It was almost going on 6 years. And Karina was... waitressing before. No, you were in the medical field at that point.
Yeah, because it was with Emiliano. Yeah.
And so we both quit our jobs. We invested half of that 401k money in supplies and marketing and little things like that just to get jump started. And yeah, we just had a little cushion left. And it was going okay for, I would say, the first year or so. And then, you know, since you need that kind of the circle of money to keep going, it started diminishing little by little, and that's when the stress started coming. Wow. That's when it started hitting us.
Where do you think it came from first? Who was the first person to crack and be like, this started becoming a big evident issue?
I think it was actually the both of us. And we're, like I said, since there's so much growing up, we kind of each try to deal with it our own way. And separate, like I said, we weren't coming together anymore. It was just a separation. It was like he was dealing with his mental, emotional stuff, and I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to deal with my emotional and mental stuff on my own, so we weren't coming together as one. Yeah. And we were both cracking, I think, at the same time.
Yeah, in our own ways.
Yeah, there you go, in our own ways. And then we had to leave our apartment, like where we were at, and we, like I said, we moved into our parents' house, I mean his mom's house, and then a couple months after that, I found out that I was pregnant with Carolina.
Wow.
Yep. So everything was really just so hard, and I went to my mom's house. When I found out I was pregnant, I moved to my mom's house. He was living at his mom's house, so we were dealing with that. He had sold his car, the Trailblazer, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So we had
my only car.
Yeah. So we had one car at the time, and then after that, we started, Eddie was just doing other, like, he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to get a job. So Eddie started working and doing all these other small side job things, and at the time, of course, nobody's going to want to hire a pregnant person.
Right.
And so I was doing flatness, and which was fine, because it was kind of working out for us for a little bit with the flat.
So.
Yeah. It wasn't bringing us a shitload of money, but we were sort of surviving.
We're still eating a little bit.
Yeah.
You're surviving. You guys are eating.
We were able to buy bottled water and things like that.
Bottle of water and plant.
So then that was really, really hard.
There's all these strains. You notice, babe? Like, I love it because they jumped off a cliff and they're flying, but then the business is kind of a little shaky, and then they have to move in with their mom. And even if his mom is fantastic, there's still a strain.
Nobody wants to be with their mom. You want to be able to be in your private home. Yeah,
right.
Walk around in your underwear, just even.
Right, and then the baby comes in. Right. And all those fears that you get, like, because you start thinking about college. You're pregnant with this child, and you're already thinking about college, or do we even want, what schools is she going to go to?
Exactly.
So you start to worry, knowing, like, dang, diapers are expensive.
Yeah.
Like, did we make the wrong move? And then what happened? Did you get, and then you guys aren't talking, which is the exact thing that we were talking about. Right. We didn't talk about it. You're living it, you're going through it, but you don't even know how to start the conversation.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Did it crack? Did you guys break?
Yeah, we did. We broke, and I think it was after, though, our daughter came. It was Because, like I said, we were both not living together. We had a weird living.
It was a weird dynamic at that point. I think from us being together since we were 15, we made all of our mistakes together. So that specific issue kind of, you know, exposed all of our problems. And we had to deal with everything all at once. Even the little stuff that happened at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. All kind of came right in the forefront for us. And she felt more comfortable at her mom's and her parents' house. So I was like, go ahead, you know, I'm not going to force you to be here. You know, I want you to feel comfortable. There's a little baby on the way. And that was difficult for me because, you know, I couldn't see my little daughter every day. And I think at that point I had like 2 to 3 jobs, mm-hmm. just juggling them all.
Wow. Yep. So you guys were separated physically, but still together mm-hmm. emotionally. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, we were.
Okay. Well, the emotional thing was...
That was
kind of breaking as well.
That was starting. And yeah. I think, like I said, when we didn't talk about it, and since we wanted to deal with it on our own, and being 15 and you grow up with somebody, if you don't really know how to talk about those issues mm-hmm. right then and there, they kind of just start building. They start building, they start building, start building. And then you get this big ass mess. And that's mm-hmm. what we had. We had a big ass mess. We didn't talk about financial issues. We didn't talk about all the crap that we had dealt with in our relationship that had to deal with trust, love, and fidelities and all this other stuff. And from the both of us. And it was hard. It was hard just to deal with. And then when we had another baby, it was like, okay, well, we're on our own. We're each other. You're your own person. I'm my own person. We're married, but we're not one.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what we're going to do for these kids, but on our own instead of together.
Yeah. Right. And I think at that point, that's where our mind frame was. Let's take care of our kids. And we kind of forgot about each other, you know.
That's what so many people do. Yeah.
Right. We think that we do it for the kids, and that's a good thing. But in the same way, it can start to destroy you because mm-hmm. you don't take care of each other. And I think when you become a better wife, you become a better mom. Mm-hmm. When you become a better husband, exactly. you become a better dad. And mm-hmm. and we forget that. And especially yeah. with our culture, it's like, put the kids first.
Yeah.
You're a good mom if you put your kids first before your husband.
Yeah.
And people will disagree with me, but I'm like, you put your husband at the right place, and then everything else will come, your children and all that. So you guys kind of, was there a breakup?
Yeah, we broke up when Carolina was about 6 months, and we broke up for about a year.
Crazy.
We broke up for about a year, and in that year, we both dated other people.
Crazy.
It was completely different, but for some reason, we always came back to each other.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was... not necessarily for the kids, because I think we were both really good parents mm-hmm. when the kids were with me, the kids were with Eddie. It was just, I don't know, like what we have for each other and all of our history. It's like, okay, do we want to let this go? Or what are we going to do? How are we going to try to make this work?
And how did it? Like, how did you guys get back together?
You want to say it?
How did we? Like, I mean, was it a conversation? Was it like...
Yeah, I think...
It was a conversation that we had?
We still, like, when we split up, like I said, it was from all those accumulated years of us not fixing issues. And we just didn't know how at that point to even try. We thought about going to counseling. We never went that route. But yeah, at that point, it was kind of a point of no return. After... We would still see each other when we split up. How often do you think? Maybe on...
Yeah, but we, like, when we would drop off the kids...
It was mostly your parents dropping them off to me.
So we didn't have a lot of physical interaction. I mean, we did a few times, but not... We didn't see each other a lot.
Yeah.
We would talk. We tried not to argue. And then, I don't know. I don't know if it was because... And I wouldn't say that other people in our relationship, Eddie thinks it's other people that kind of made us want to get back together, but I don't think that was it.
Well, I think at some point in the relationship, something shocking needs to happen for you to kind of realize what you really had or,
yeah,
that's good.
You know, or what, you know, where, you know, what you really want. And mm-hmm. I think that happened for us when we split mm-hmm. up.
Yeah. Because we both got to see... Like I said, other people and see
what it was like out there.
Yeah, what he might want, what I might want, and it's not what we wanted.
Right, exactly. Well, that makes really a lot of sense, too, where you hit a certain rock bottom, they hit a rock bottom, and then people that are married, we always tend to think, I don't know about you, babe, but sometimes, like, maybe it'll be better with someone else. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be better if I'm single. Maybe mm-hmm. it'll be better if we were it had something else. And then you get that, and you're like, it's not better.
No.
I miss him. I miss us.
Yeah.
How can we make us better?
And then that's when you think, okay, how can we make this better, like you say? How are we gonna take our disaster and just make it into something beautiful?
And how did you guys start cleaning it up? Did you guys end up talking about the financial, the infidelities?
Oh yeah, we still talk about that all the time, because like what we were talking about earlier, Thea, there's certain things that creep up that you have to deal with now.
Yes.
You know, you're still dealing with it now, and it's so we find ways to talk about it now better and communicate better, because sometimes I feel like, even though we're so open with each other, and we have, I would say, a really good communication with each other, versus, I don't like to compare myself to my parents or anything, but mm-hmm. I'm talking about the certain communication that they have. Me and him have been able to really talk about things that either bother me or bother him. I think he is more reserved mm-hmm. on it, though, than I am. Because if something pisses me off, I'm on that damn phone. Excuse me. We need to talk about something. You know, versus him, where he's more like, he'll wait. He'll wait and wait.
Yeah, I like to analyze the situation a lot more than she does.
I feel you. Now, if I could ask you this question. If let's say if there's somebody going through this exact same thing, and in order for them to avoid, like, for them not to have to go through the exact same path that you guys went through, what would be a few key things that you would tell them that in order for you to avoid this, you guys should have done this, or you should do this now, before now, because now we learned it the hard way?
Yeah, communication, like, really taught, not being prideful and coming together as one, because that's where it comes down to. If you're not communicating about your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts, your concerns, it kind of trickles down, and then you just build all this negativity, resentment, anger inside of you, and then that just kind of breaks down your relationship, because you start acting all sour, then your relationship is going to be sour too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because I think when people start putting up their individual walls is when things start going bad.
Exactly.
And if you keep those walls down, and just say what you're feeling and address every issue, even if it hurts your pride, you know, you end up taking a step forward instead of burying yourself mm-hmm. down.
Now I have a question, because I've never been through this, so I'm wondering, mm-hmm. you guys break up, date other people. How is the relationship now? Do you guys think about them? Is there like a conversation of like, are you thinking about her? Because that's how I am. I'd be crazy. Well,
you want to talk about the recent experience?
Well, you know, the recent experience is that, you know, somebody that, you know, he used to date, you know, she kind of communicated with me through social media. So, I mean, it didn't, like I said, it didn't make, how do I even explain this? It pisses me off in the aspect of, okay, you were in the past, you were something that happened, and I can't be mad at that.
Right.
Of course, if you keep on thinking about it, yes, it will kill you, but I'm not focused on that. I wasn't focused on that, because, yes, that would kill me if I focused on that. And I'm like, no, you know, that was something that happened in the past. And, you know, dealing with that coming to me again was what was bothering me. And it wasn't like Eddie's fault. And the community, because he was in China when this happened, when she decided to communicate with me about her personal problems. So that was a little...
She does not know que tú te la vas a arrastrar. She does not know Karina Rivera Navarro.
You know, I had to just keep it together, because I was like, okay, if I do this, then I'm going to sound bitter. If I, you know,
right.
And I'm not. And I'm not. It's just like, yes, you are the past, and I'm not going to be a bitch, but you got to step back. You know, you know what you're doing, you know?
Right. It looked like she was trying to,
of course,
to unsettle what was just about to be fixed.
And she knew that Eddie would be there, and I would obviously tell Eddie.
Right, you know? She was trying to cause conflict.
Yeah, so then, you know, like I said, I wasn't pissed off at Eddie. I was just like, I had to communicate with him about it. And I'm like, you know, what the hell is going on? Like, he's like, well, why don't you block her? And I'm like, I don't feel like I need to.
Right.
But it's like, okay, what the hell do I do? You know? So that's something that I, like, this barely happened about what? When did you go to China?
Not even a month ago.
Crazy. Well, about a month ago, actually. About a month ago when he went to China.
I get this message when I'm in China.
And mind you, Thea, the time difference is...
Like, he better get up.
I'm a whole day ahead. I'm a whole day ahead over there. And,
stop worrying about the past, girl. That was yesterday.
I know. And she sent me a text. And, you know, once you're together for so long, you just get gut feelings on how the text was made or how she sets things. And I was like, uh-oh, something's going on. And then she's
wait,
like...
Wait, you were pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
See, because you guys don't know, Karina's pregnant. Yeah. Now she's having another beautiful baby girl.
Yes.
This is baby number three for you guys.
This baby number three.
See, strain is trying to come upon you during your pregnancy.
Yes, so I feel like I've, you know, been attacked in other areas, and I just like, Lord, just give, let me just be calm.
Right.
Let me just be calm. So, and like I said, I'd be honest, like, yeah, it kind of, you know, irritated me in the aspect because I don't need to reach out to her. I don't have bad blood or bad intentions or nothing. It's just like, you are over there, I'm over here, you live your life, you live my life. Especially when somebody said that they were in love with your significant other, you know that it's coming from a different place.
Exactly.
You know it's coming from a different place.
Okay, so people can't hear you, but... I mean, can't see you. How old are you guys? I just need them to see.
Yes, we are 30. We're 87. 87 babies.
Been together officially since we were 15.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So half of our lives literally together.
Okay, so now let's remind people, we're about to end this podcast. Before you guys go and you and I will continue the conversation, babe, what are the key things that have helped you guys in your marriage?
Love.
One from each. Love.
Mm-hmm. Communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love and communication. And everything that you're usually scared of talking about, that's what exactly you have to do for it to work.
Because he's gotten a lot better.
At communicating.
That's definitely good advice. I think that's what every marriage needs, regardless of where you at in whatever stage you might be. Communication is so important. And Eddie said something very key, is that you have to lay your pride down. Or even if your pride gets hurt, communication is going to be what holds a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, lack of conflict resolution is because you don't communicate about it.
Right.
99% of the time, it's because you don't say anything.
Exactly. So, okay, to all our listeners, you have listened to a young couple, but I need you to know that even if you're 40 or 50, you can learn from these two people because they have been through so much in their young life. So age shouldn't stop you from learning from someone else. The Power of Us is about learning from your community. And even though they're 30 and they got together at around 15, they've been through so much that I have learned from them today.
Yeah.
And from what I learned from Eddie, when I heard them talking, I've learned two things from Eddie today. Well, I've always known one thing about Eddie. He lets Karina be her. You see who Karina is. I've seen her grow up. She's always been this specific type of girl. I love her personality. I love to hear her talk. She's so strong. She's so wise. She's so out there. Karina never stopped being her, babe. From her being a little girl who was going to run away at 5, she told her mom, I'm running away, and she left. Just so you can imagine this child's personality, she walked out the door and said, bye, I'm out, and she left. And that has continued in such a beautiful way that despite whoever Eddie may be, I know one thing about him. He loves who Karina is, and he lets her be her.
He does.
All the time, whether she's an extrovert, whether she's angry, happy, sad, like, he lets her be her. So I think that's very key in their marriage that they might not be able to see, but we can see.
Yeah.
Karina gets to be her. And then two, he said, the one thing you're afraid to talk about, that's what you should be talking about.
Yeah, so good.
So to all our listeners today, thank you so much for joining us in The Power of Us. And I'm going to leave you with some homework because that's what we do. And we call it your turn. This is your turn. Go to your alone place before you go with your couple, before you go with your partner, and think, what am I most afraid to talk about? Whether it's an infidelity like they've been through, whether it's financial issues like they've been through, or something else, whether it's an ex or something that she did when she was 15 or something that I'm going through now. Something about you, because I don't want you to start the conversation about them. Something that you're afraid to talk about you. You open it up And start the conversation. I feel, I am afraid, I am sad, and open it up, and you will see in your vulnerability how it will honor your relationship and begin to let down those walls, like they said, and begin to build a new relationship.
Wow. Definitely. Make sure to do this when you guys are not going through a tough moment. Don't do it when you guys are angry and that's when you decide to bring it up. Do it honestly in a moment where you guys can both come at it at a neutral position. You know, I think that's going to be the best way that you guys can really confront this hard issue.
Right.
So thank you so much for joining us on The Power of Us. We are a community. We're a family. We just want to learn from each other and we want to learn from you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Hola, my name is Enrique Santos, presentador de Tu Mañana y On The Move. Quiero invitarte a escuchar mi nuevo podcast, Hola, My Name Is, donde hablo con artistas, líderes de nuestra comunidad y personas como tú. Mi meta es que juntos conozcamos más sobre los triunfos y las derrotas de mis invitados y que a través de sus historias nos empoderen y nos motiven a superarnos. Lanzamos el show con J Balvin. He's awesome. Un artista colombiano que ha revolucionado la música latina y que sigue superando récords mundiales. Él nos cuenta abiertamente sobre sus inicios, el secreto de su éxito y los aprendizajes que lo ayudan a preservar su autenticidad. A partir de este martes 7 de abril, podrás acompañarme todas las semanas a conocer más a fondo a un invitado especial. Puedes encontrar mi podcast en la aplicación digital de iHeartRadio, la descargas gratis, o en donde prefieras escuchar tus podcasts. Hola, my name is The Podcast, a partir de este 7 de abril.